It's time to Ask Judith. With the star of our show, Montreal's financial educator, Judith Fague. The number to call is 738-4100, extension 230. 738-4100, extension 230.
Good afternoon and welcome to Ask Judith. This is our fourth week on air, and I'm hoping that we will have a lot of calls this week. We're going to make a few changes. Yes, you can call in at 514-738-4100, extension 230. But I understand from people that I've spoken to in the past 2-3 weeks is that some of you are shy, some of you are embarrassed, some of you are just nervous to call. So we have two different ways of reaching, or you reaching me. You can text me at 514-824-6782. Again, 514-824-6782. Or you can email your question at jfague@fagefinancial.com. That's J. Fague, F-E-I-G, at Fague Financial, FINANCIAL.com. So I hope that will take away some of your nervousness. Anyway, I hope you had a great week. My week was fantastic. And I thank you again for allowing me into your homes or to your cars. And I look forward to sharing this time with you. Today we're going to have a phenomenal show, and it's going to be a very interesting show. But before I introduce my guest to you, I'd like to just repeat again the goal and the purpose of the show. The goal and the purpose is to educate and inform and answer questions, because only through questions and through education will you really understand. Finance is a very intricate and very difficult thing to understand. There are so many different people giving you different advice. And most of you don't know or don't understand. And if I would go to your home and I would ask you, what do you have? You'll tell me you don't remember. And I will say, well, how did you make the decision? Many of you will even say, well, my friend has it. I don't think that works these days. So because we are approaching the end of the year, where many people are now changing from an RRSP to a RIF, or it is almost tax time, and I'm sure that's not what you want to hear on this gorgeous evening, but I will talk about it anyway, because I don't always speak about what you want to hear. So I'm going to introduce you to my very, very, very special guest. All I could tell you is that when I have questions, he's my guru, and he's the one I call. So I'm hoping you'll take advantage of his very nice personality and nice side. Although I have to say, today he sounds a little bit like a croaking frog. He doesn't normally sound like a croaking frog, but he has a cold, so bear with him.
I do.
My special, special guest is Jonathan Cody, and he's the account executive of the retail investments distribution in Quebec of Empire Life. And Jonathan is a very knowledgeable young man. And we are here today to talk about the different types of investments that are out there. And first of all, welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you. Thank you, Judy, for the kind introduction, kind words, and it's a pleasure for me to be here this afternoon.
Don't worry, you'll pay for it. Anyway, why are we doing this show? And Jonathan and I discussed it because many times I would call him and I would say, Jonathan, you know, with the bonds being the way they are and the fixed income, the rates are so low. And many of my clients are asking me, well, what will happen to my retirement? Will I outlive my retirement? Will I have enough money to retire. And the fact is, on a fixed income, if you're earning 1.50 and the government is going to make you withdraw, if you're going to be changing to a RIF and you'll have to withdraw 5%, 6%, nothing will happen. What will happen is you will lose money and you will be out of money. So today, Jonathan and I would like to discuss and explain and to educate you about the various types of investments one can make. I'm going to make this a little bit quick because I'm already getting the sign that in 5 minutes I have to give you time to listen to some ads. So I'm going to make this very quickly, and after the ad, Jonathan will take over for a little bit. There are different types of investments, and you can take your investments through a broker, or you could take your investments through a bank, or you can have your investments through an insurance company. What are the differences? And I'm just going to do this very quickly. And I'm not speaking about any specific bank or any specific investment company. What's the word I'm looking for? Not a broker, but it is a...
Well, either a brokerage firm or a discount broker, or if you want to manage your investments yourself.
Exactly. So let's just take a bank and an investment firm because they will go under one umbrella.
Yes.
Is your capital guaranteed? Now, we're not talking about deposits. We're talking about investments. Is your capital guaranteed? And the answer is no. On the other hand, if you invest with an insurance company, your capital is either a guaranteed 75% or 100%. Now, you must be asking the question, how? Why? How could that be? Well, both of them are regulated. They're regulated by the government, but they're regulated differently. An investment house or a bank, when you invest with them, they do not have to put money into reserves. Therefore, they cannot guarantee your capital. An insurance company is regulated differently. For every dollar that you invest, they have to put money away into reserves, 1.50. Just for your information out there today, because of the fluctuations of the market, most put into reserves anywhere from 2 to 250. Now, these monies cannot be used for operating expenses. It has to be invested in government bonds or GICs. So if the market is up, your capital is there. If the market is down, you know that they have the money to pay you with. And that is one of the differences. Before, I'm getting the two-minute sign. Now, if you say you invested $100,000, and the market is down to $60,000, and you die, what do you think your family will receive from the bank investment or a brokerage house? Well, very quickly, you will receive the $60,000 versus the insurance company. Same thing happened, $100,000, market is $60,000, you die, your family will receive the $100,000. So, which one would you prefer to get? I don't know. I will allow a few minutes for your phone call just to let me know which one you prefer. 514-738-4100, extension 230, or text me 514-824-6284.
6782.
You yes. See? I'm even confused. It must be Jonathan. Do I have more time? I have 1 minute. One other. In an RRSP, if one dies, then it rolls over to the spouse. But say you're the only one left and you die. will it have to go through a will and a mandate, and rather a probate, or will it go directly to the to your beneficiary? Well, with a bank and a brokerage, you will have to go through probate. With an insurance company, because it's a contract, there is a direct beneficiary, therefore you bypass the probate. Again, please, if you have any questions, 514-738-4100, extension 230.
We will return to Ask Judith after these messages from our local sponsors. Welcome back to Ask Judith. The number to call is 738-4100, extension 230. 738-4100, extension 230. It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money. We
just want to make. Hello, welcome back. Jonathan and I are sitting here and waiting for the phone call, so we didn't get any, so we figured you must have all this information and you must know all this information. I'm thrilled that I have such an educated listeners. Perhaps this is going to get me some phone calls, because now we're going to talk about that big word, and it's called fees. Because, you know, when I go to clients and I want to upgrade a client from what they now have to what I would be offering them, the first thing they say is, yeah, but what about the fees? Well, you know, I'm not going to speak about fees. I'm going to let Jonathan tell you about what a fee is, how many different types of fees, and let's see if it's something that affects you. So, Jonathan, it's all yours.
Okay. Well, Judy, you're right. You know, the magic word, or the big word in the investment world, is indeed fees. And a lot of people are talking about fees, and they all want to pay the lowest fees possible. So we'll just take a couple minutes maybe to kind of outline some of the different fees out there, because there are a variety of different types of fees, and I think that it's important that your listeners out there understand the differences. So when we talk fees, normally the average consumer or the average listener out there will relate to fees in terms of management fees. So in other words, a management fee is a cost associated to an underlying fund manager who is in charge of managing a portfolio of stocks and bonds. And you know, management fees are usually found with regards to mutual funds, portfolios, segregated funds, which are the investments offered through insurance companies. So management fees are definitely one type of fee. There is also surrender fees. So often, again, surrender fees are associated to a financial advisor's commissions. It has to do with whether an investor is in it for the long term, the medium term, shorter term. So there are a certain amount of surrender fees that if a client is invested for the long haul and decides that they need a portion of their portfolio, that they may have to pay what we call surrender fees in order to access some of that capital. But those are conversations with regards to surrender fees. Those are conversations that clients are usually having with advisors. Surrender fees are understood right out of the gate, right from the beginning. There should be no surprises in terms of surrender fees. So, but that is yet again another type of fee that we have to be cognizant of when we talk about investing in retirement portfolios. And then there is a variety of underlying, you know, transaction fees. If you are, for example, trying to manage your portfolio on your own, you're buying stocks, you're selling individual stocks, discount brokerage firm will often charge transaction fees. So there is a litany of different types of fees, ranging from transaction to surrender to management fees, and so on and so forth. I think the type of fees that you and I discuss on a regular basis, and that I hear on a regular basis, and that you hear on a regular basis, is really with regards to management fees.
Absolutely.
And everybody out there wants to, and I get to a certain extent, rightfully so, the media and newspapers talk a lot about fees and how it's important to keep fees low. However, you know, fees are one thing, but it is important for the end client to understand that the net result of your portfolio over time, bottom line, correct, is really what matters.
Yeah.
You know, you can pay 1%, 1.5% lower fees, but not be able, for other reasons, to generate an adequate rate of return versus a, you know, a different type of investment or a different type of fund where fees might be higher for whatever reasons, and there are usually obviously reasons that explain higher fees. As a matter of fact, higher fees usually come with
guarantees,
correct? You know, it doesn't automatically mean, or it doesn't revert to, you know, higher fees meaning lower returns, or lower fees meaning higher returns, and that is a perception that is not well understood, and we've seen multiple examples.
Exactly,
right?
You know, Jonathan, you know very well that I am conservative, and I believe in guarantees. That doesn't mean that one should only have their investments in guarantees, but I like to sleep at night for my clients, and I try to guide my clients towards the guarantee. And when this thing about fees comes in, my question to them normally is, you have a home? And they'll say, yes. Well, do you have fire insurance? And they'll say, well, of course. I say, why? So they say, well, what if? And then I ask, do you have a car insurance? And they'll say, yeah, sure. And I say, why? Well, some smart people say, because the government makes me. But most people will say, well, what if? And when it comes to a guaranteed product, which we will discuss soon, and we will discuss a non-guaranteed product, because I'm not one-sided, but today this is the conversation. Well, yeah, there is a fee for guarantee, but it's there for the what if.
Correct.
So if you're in a RIF where you're retired or you're close to a RIF, and we'll talk about the importance of a sequence of returns in 2 minutes, what is the fee if you just lost 40% of your equities? That's the fee. But if you had a guarantee, that would never happen. So you really have to look at reality, because I know if we ever update money, and again, nothing to do with the banks, so don't come and sue me. But whenever we have a question, the first thing they bring up is, oh yeah, but is there a fee? But on the other hand, Jonathan, am I right? Do the banks work for nothing?
No. Well, there's this just a couple things. You know, you mentioned fees. There is most definitely a cost associated to different types of guarantees.
Right.
And, you know, we'll talk a bit maybe closer to the end of the hour with regards to Empire Life. I mean, we as an insurance company are in the business of offering guarantees and promises to clients. So those guarantees and those reserve requirements, they all come at a cost. But if I'm an investor and I feel that guarantees are important and I want to sleep at night, well then I, for the most part, accept the fees associated to my different guarantees. So that was one thing I just wanted to mention. The other question you asked me about, you know, whether or not there's fees at a bank. I got to tell all your listeners out there right now that if any of you are being told by a somebody who's working at a bank, you walk into a bank and somebody approaches you to talk to you or ask you questions about your retirement portfolio, if the comment comes out of their mouth that, well, you know, we can offer you an array of funds with no fees, I mean, they're just blowing a lot of hot air. So, you know, whether it's a mutual fund offered at a bank, whether it's a segregated fund offered through an insurance company, whether it's a discount brokerage account, there are fees.
I don't know anyone that works for nothing.
No, of course not. And the experts and the professionals who are managing these portfolios of stocks and bonds, picking great companies, selling bad companies, these are professionals. This is how they make their money. And there are most definitely fees associated with a variety of different types of
and when there's
investing.
A buy and sell, there are fees as well.
Of course, of course. So again, maybe as a to kind of bring all of this together, the conversation of fees is an important one. There are fees everywhere. There are higher fees in accordance to, as we mentioned before, in terms of different levels of guarantees. But it's crucially important for the listeners out there to understand that banks are not in the business of offering investments at no fees. It just doesn't exist.
You and might not see it.
Correct. Or they may
or
not.
Or you think.
Yeah. Or they may not. They may not. You know, show it to you up front. But when you end up reading the fine print, that's where the fees are disclosed and are apparent. So it's really the end result, and listeners have got to understand that just because they're paying a little higher in fees, it does not mean that their average rate of return or their net rate of return is going to be any lower than somebody else paying lower fees.
Well, so the truth is, can the bank give you a guaranteed lifetime income that you'll never run out of money?
It cannot.
They'll talk about lower fees. Well, would you have lower fees, higher fees, or run out of money? You know, this is a question you have to think about. 514-738-4100, extension 230, or please text me 514-824-6782. Again, 824-6782.
We will return to Ask Judith after these messages from our local sponsors. Welcome back to Ask Judith. The number to call is 738-4100, extension 230. 738-4100, extension 230.
Hello, listeners. Thanks for coming back. And for those who are just joining us, my name is Judith Feig. This is Ask Judith, and we're waiting for questions to be asked. I have a very, very special guest with me, Jonathan Cody from Empire Life, who answers all my questions. So I'm hoping that you will give him the opportunity to answer your questions. 514-738-4100, extension 230. Now, for those of you who might be shy or nervous, you can text me at 514-824-6782, and I will be more than happy, and Jonathan will be more than happy to answer any of your questions. Now, before we went for a break, we were talking about fees. We were talking about the difference in mutual funds and segregated funds. And now, what I would like to review, which we spoke a few minutes last week on air, was the pension plans, the three different types of pension plans, the defined benefit pension plan, and who has a defined benefit pension plan, and frankly, who today has a pension plan? Mostly government employees. And for those of you who are government employees, go to sleep, you're good.
Yeah.
But for most people out there, there are no pension plans. And then there is the defined contribution plan, which basically you really don't know what you're going to get as an income because the responsibility is no longer on the employer to fill up the negative amount in the pension plan. And of course, there's the third one, which is called the HOPE plan. Hope I don't outlive my money. Hope the market is up when I retire. Now, there is a fourth pension plan, which is very much like the government pension plan, where you are guaranteed that you will receive a certain amount of money, and you are guaranteed that you will never outlive that money, even if the market value is zero. And this is called a GMWB, and I'm going to give this over to my good friend Jonathan, not because I don't know it, it's because he knows it better. Jonathan?
Sounds good. Okay, so just maybe just a couple comments before I talk about GMWB. As Judith said, if any listener out there actually still does have a defined benefit plan, make sure you hang on to it. You're lucky. So keep that.
Actually, it could be an antique soon.
It could be.
And it'll have a big value.
Correct. I mean, most employers out there today in 2015 and going forward are just not offering defined benefit plans anymore. And most of them have reverted to defined contribution, which is, again, therefore putting the onus back on you, the individual, to take hands-on with regards to managing your own retirement. So that being said, with regards to a GMWB, so again, just for listeners to understand, a GMWB is referred to as a guaranteed minimum withdrawal benefit plan. And so,
we just got a text, and the question is, is it better to invest my RRSP with a bank or an insurance company? Well, you know what my answer is, but I'll allow Jonathan to answer that.
It's actually a very good question. I mean, at the base, there are some distinct advantages with regards to holding your RSP with an insurance company versus a bank, and some of the advantages that come to mind are obviously the possibility for creditor protection. Although I know that most Canadian banks, to a certain extent, have extended out their possibilities of creditor protection as well. So that is definitely one. Number two, because you would be purchasing your RSP, which is an annuity contract, you are also designating a beneficiary.
Absolutely.
Which you're not doing at a bank. So that is a big advantage in the sense that when the owner of that RSP or the annuitant of that RSP passes away and has designated a specific beneficiary, the death claim process and the rollover process, correct, is much quicker, is very seamless, and you are not having to deal with estate and all depending on the size of the estate. Could take much longer.
But there's also the capital guarantee.
Sure.
And, you know, I saw that, really saw that in 2008 when the market crashed, and I saw contracts coming, maturing in 2008, and the deposit, say, was $100,000, and this is why I came up with that figure of $80,000. The client who had the contract maturing didn't get the $80,000, got the $100,000.
Correct.
And that is the power of guarantee. Would you have had it in the bank, you would have received the $80,000.
Yeah.
But you see, with an insurance company, and we're not talking about now the GMWB, but a regular mutual fund, segregated fund, that usually has a contract. And it's usually 15 years. So at the end of the 15 years, if the market happens to be tanking and it's lower than what you deposited, you will get your deposit.
Correct. Yeah. So that, I mean, bottom line, that individual that texted that question, which is a very good question, if there is an importance to that individual in terms of securing their capital, death benefit guarantees, income for life guarantees, then they should most definitely consider RSPs with an insurance company. Absolutely.
But then again, everything is an individual, and that is a general statement. But when we see clients and when we do a needs analysis and we go through the goals and everything else, assets, liabilities, expenses, that decision is made only based on all the facts. So, Jonathan, we don't have that much.
Yes.
Let's get going.
So let's go back to the discussion.
Thank you for texting. I'm expecting more.
So back to the discussion on GMWBs. Just maybe I'm going to try and keep this short and sweet and maybe within a minute. It's important for listeners out there to really understand that The GMWB, or how it's called here in Canada, is actually, or has existed for quite some time in the United States.
Absolutely.
Variable annuities, correct? It has also existed for quite some time over in European countries.
Right.
With the same objective of providing a predictable, steady, guaranteed stream of lifetime income.
Not just income. Also during accumulation.
Correct.
With the way this program works, which if we have time, we'll review it, you know that you can have a 5% bonus credited to you December 31st of each year. So no matter what, you know, for your guaranteed income, even if the market is tanking at 30%, you have a plus 5%.
Correct. Correct. I mean, that's we can after the next pause, we can get into maybe some of the mechanics. But
right,
the GMWB solution is a powerful solution. Now it has gone through, multiple changes, and it first was introduced in Canada back in the fall of 2006. So it's
by
almost
Manulife.
Correct. Manulife was the leader, yes, back then. Now today,
and do you remember the reason why? Yes, they brought in those, yes, when they introduced this product, it was called Income Plus. It has nothing to do with Empire Life.
No.
It's just Manulife. But the reason they brought it into Canada, actually, for them to do that, they bought a company called John Hancock from United States.
Correct.
And they introduced this product for the simple reason is that people are living longer. And people need more money because everybody's worried about outliving their money. And the markets tanking, crashing, up and down. Because I could guarantee you, all of my listeners, regardless of what your age is, by the time you retire, that market will go up and down, up and down, up and down. The only thing you don't know is, will it be down when you are forced to take a risk? And that is one of the reasons this Income Plus was introduced to Canada, to allay the fears,
correct,
of, yep, outliving your income and the fact that you're living longer, so you need more retirement funds.
Correct, correct. I mean, the reality today is that Empire Life is one of the few insurance companies that still offer a GMWB solution. But again,
there's a reason for that, and perhaps,
right,
we could cover that when we come back,
yes,
because time is flying. We're just being told it's commercial time again.
As you mentioned, Judy, the attractiveness of the GMWB solution is the ability to know as an investor, as you are continuing throughout what is referred to as the accumulation phase, your RSP phase, you continue to add money, you continue to invest for the future, that you will be able to understand today what guaranteed lifetime income you will be receiving once you start deaccumulating or taking income from that retirement portfolio. So it is, that
exactly,
is
and that is very similar to the government pension plan.
Correct, correct.
Because if you work for the government, you know that you will receive money for the rest of your life. You don't have to worry.
Yeah, and there are, and I, again, for the listener out there to understand, you know, why are you and I talking about GMWBs this afternoon? There are, and it's the reasons why that are extremely important. You mentioned about people outliving their assets, extremely important. You mentioned about sequence of returns and the order in terms of how markets perform. You know, once you start taking income, markets are down severely. You don't have that time on your side as you do when you're younger.
Not only that, if you're making no money, if the market is down 2%, but the government makes you take out 7%, that means you're withdrawing more than you have. That money will never grow again.
Correct. Correct.
And you can never make up that money. And you have 2-3 bad years like that, you run out of money within 10 years. Gone. Finished.
Capital depletes extremely fast.
Exactly. And if you're okay with that, hey, that's great. I'm not. And that is why I'm trying to educate my clients about this, or you, my listeners, 514-738-4101. 800-300-2300, extension 230, or text me at 514-824-6782, 514-824-6782.
We will return to Ask Judith after these messages from our local sponsors. Welcome back to Ask Judith. The number to call is 738-4100, extension 230. 738-4100, extension 230.
Hi, welcome back again. That music that you hear, it's not about the money, money. Guess what? It is about the money, money. Because I want to make sure that money, money stays in your pocket and it doesn't go back into the system. And that's why we're here today, to educate you and to make these facts clear to you so that you understand. It is about the money. It's about the money that you should have in your hands, whether you're young, you're middle-aged, retired, retiring. You want to sleep at night, and you want to make sure that you don't have to worry about not being able to have enough funds. Now, I see that we have another text, and here it goes, and then I'm going to allow Jonathan. It says, hi, Judith, why should I consider investing my money into a segregated fund when my bank is suggesting I buy their mutual funds? That's a great question, Mark. But I'm going to let Jonathan answer that. Well, because Jonathan is also a specialist in mutual funds, not just guaranteed. So it's not a one-sided conversation here.
Yes. I love the theme song, by the way, Money, Money. It's very good. You know, the question, it is a very good question, and I think it, you know, it reverts back to what we were discussing earlier. You know, why are clients out there considering a segregated fund through an insurance company versus a mutual fund, either through a bank or even through a mutual fund company?
Which basically is really the same thing. A mutual fund or segregated, it's just a question of guarantees or no guarantees.
Correct. And that's really where the difference lies. If you are an investor out there with a fear of losing capital, if you establish the fact that it is important for you to make sure that your estate, your beneficiaries, receive the maximum of your assets at your death, or if anything were to happen, if there is an importance in securing lifetime guaranteed income, then you really have to be looking towards an insurance company or a segregated fund, as opposed to a mutual fund offered through a mutual fund company or a bank. So again, the reasons are similar. It really boils down to whether you believe in guarantees or not. And if you do, understanding that you know, guarantees come at a cost, and that's why...
So does replacing your house if you had a fire.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. I hope your question was answered. There is another phone call coming in.
Hello?
Hi.
Can I speak to Judith, please?
Speaking.
Good, good. I have a question.
Just for Judith or for Jonathan?
I am for both of you. I have a question. If I pass away...
Please don't.
...feet for my children, and it's with insurance company, is there withholding taxes?
If you have what kind of RRS... You have RRSPs?
Yes, with the insurance company, I leave it to my children, and when I die, is there withholding taxes on the fund?
Estate. Yes, there is taxes for the estate, not for your children.
No. What I mean to say that if the value is $200,000, and I leave it to my children, do they get $200,000 minus taxes, or do they get $200,000 without withholding taxes?
Well, the way that we would the way that we would settle, and when I say we, obviously referring to an insurance company, and I can use Empire Life as an example. We would settle that estate and pay the beneficiaries, which would be obviously the children, as you mentioned, the $200,000 directly. Now, that does not, we as an insurance company will not withhold tax on that death claim or that death payment. The tax slip that would be issued in the name of the estate of the deceased, and that is where taxes, depending on the size of the estate, would have to be dealt with. But we as an insurance company will not withhold the tax once death claim proceeds are settled and paid to the children.
And I think another part to your question might be, to all my listeners, when we began the program, the beginning of this program, we talked about the difference between having your investments in a bank versus an insurance company. And if the deposit was $100,000 and the market value was $80,000 on the day you died, with the bank or the brokerage, the market value would be going to the beneficiary, versus with an insurance company, the $100,000 would be going to the beneficiary. This has nothing to do with tax. This has to do just with the death benefit guarantee. Has your question been answered?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, and please don't die.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Good okay. questions. Good questions.
Let's go back to...
Yes. Back to... we were talking about a bit of the mechanics, again, of the GMWB product, and while we were on commercial there, we wanted to mention some key points. And you know, again, the accumulation phase of the GMWB, one of the key features is that, and you mentioned it before, is that 5% notional bonus, which works towards increasing your guaranteed lifetime income. And again, one of the key features with the GMWB that that is still offered at Empire Life is, regardless of the date of your deposit, we will credit your account, provided you don't make any withdrawals, of course, with that full 5% bonus.
So in essence, I think what he's also saying is, if you deposit your the money now in November, you will get that 5%, not prorated from January for the month of November, December, but you will get the 5%, the full 5% for the full year.
Correct.
That's what that 5% is.
Correct. So,
let's talk a little bit about resets.
Sure. I mean, resets are every 3 years. We will take a look. And again, one of the advantages of the GMWB solution is allowing investors to be exposed to
the
markets.
Market.
Be exposed to a certain percentage of equities. And so if the markets are actually do well during those 3 year periods, we will reevaluate and take a look at the real value of the account and then reset some of these guarantee levels every 3 years. So that is a very, very key feature. And it actually works.
Can I make that simple for my listeners?
Sure.
Out there? It's very simple. Let's just take $100,000. We know that $100,000 can never go lower because that's the guarantee. So the 5%, we said the resets are every 3 years. So the first year it's 105, second year it's 110, third year it's 115. That's our guaranteed for our income. But we look at the reset, and the market value of that $100,000 the third year is $125,000. That 5% bonus will no longer be based on 100, it will be based on the 125, and it could never go lower, even if the market is lower. So we know that 5%, that 125, that's in, that's locked in. Now, let's say the market is 90, but remember, it doesn't affect you, because that 100,000, that 5% of that 100,000 is your base. It could never go lower. So it could never go lower, but once it goes higher, it's reset and it could never go lower again.
Correct. Correct.
And that is something no one can offer.
No.
Except this type of a pension plan.
Yeah, I mean, in your example, not only are future bonuses after 3 years would be 5% of 125,000, but you're now adding bonuses on top of an income base of 125,000 as well. So absolutely key feature are our resets with regards to the GMWB solution.
Now, could you have this GMWB, and listeners out there, I know we're rushing through this because time is just flying. I will revisit this next week, and if you have any questions, please email me at jfaig@faigfinancial.com or call my office 514-393-3264. Again, 514-393-3264. But we will revisit this next week. I know we're doing this very quickly. But one more question, Jonathan. We were discussing RRSPs or RIFs, but can this be done in a non-registered? And I know it can be done in a non-registered, but could you go a little bit into how tax-efficient it is, and of course into the TFSA?
Sure, it can be done. It can be done in all types of accounts: RSP, RIFs, LIRAs, LIFs, tax-free savings account, non-registered. One of the highlights of within a non-registered and the tax efficiency of this type of product is that, for the most part, when a client is taking income, at least in the initial years, it is the income that is being pulled is always a portion of the account, correct? And it is therefore considered a form of return of capital, which is not taxable in the year that it is received. So it is also
extremely tax efficient.
And again, if you're holding it within a tax-free savings account, not only are the gains on the funds tax-free, but
it's not considered as income.
Taking out, correct.
We're really very short in time, and I don't want to say goodbye fast. I just would like to very quickly talk about the way Empire invests their money. I know they don't give it out to any managers. They don't go to McKinsey. Oh, I'm not allowed to use words, names, so forget it.
Sure.
They manage their own funds, and they have a very, very unique style.
Yeah, just a couple of highlights of Empire Life. I mean, first of all, we're an insurance company, 92 years, founded back in 1923. We've been in the business of offering investments to Canadians for over 50 years. We use, with regards to managing our portfolios of funds, what is called a value, disciplined, and conservative management style. And what does that really revert back to? Two key features: preservation of capital and downside protection. And I can't reiterate the importance of downside protection, and that's what we are all about.
But I think I would like for you to tell our listeners as well that Empire runs Empire Life through their own investments.
Correct.
So you can be sure that every morning when they get together and look at the markets, they're investing for themselves.
We are Galen Morfitt, who is our chief investment officer. We do have a team of in-house managers. So Galen is the boss, and she will trigger the important decisions, but she is surrounded by a team that has cumulative over 100, 150 years of investment management experience.
But they also run Empire.
Absolutely, absolutely. They are part of the insurance side, and there's about 14 to 15 billion, with a B, of assets under management that is being run at Empire Life, correct?
And I have to say, I'm very, very proud to be able to offer that product, that security. So the hour is gone again. Thank you again, Jonathan. It's been a pleasure. And listeners, I'm going to get him back because I think it's very important for you to understand all different types of investments. There are mutual funds. We will talk about mutual funds. We'll continue with this conversation. And I'm getting the nod that I have to leave you. So thank you again for joining me. It's been a pleasure, and have a phenomenal, healthy, and financially fantastic week. Thank you again, and good night.